Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
Hello and welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us tonight. I think we're going to have a real good time. The title of our show tonight is Ennoble Your Truth, Enable Your Action, and our guest is Lee Tuhox, and we'll bring him on in just a minute. I was talking with Lee before the show, and it just reminded me of everyone's journey. I mean, that there's this inherent truth that is timeless, that that transcends language or condition, and for each one of us, we each have a very unique journey like no other. Our life path is like no other. Our personal experiences are like no other. Yet we're having this common experience, this collective interaction, this storyline that we're playing out on this most beautiful planet. And there's so much raw change in our human story now. The collective consciousness is purifying itself and increasing its vibration. And in the process of that happening, every one of us is brought through that transformation process as well. And sometimes we come into aspects of ourselves that we might not have had any personal experience with yet, and yet our journey can bring us to that place where we discover new things about ourselves, and we discover even hidden aspects about ourselves that have been dormant perhaps within our own personal persona. But, you know, when you consciously choose to engage the journey of remembering your truth, and I say remember because the truth is untouchable by mortal man, and that's the beauty of it. The truth cannot be polluted or diluted by the ego. And lucky for us, because the absolute truth is there for us to discover in every moment, now and now and now. But when you, as a human being going through your own life journey, desire, when you set that intentional desire to know more about the truth of yourself, that timeless aspect of who you are, then you're inevitably attracted to opportunities, people, situations, teachings that help you remember that truth. At the core of every one of us is a soul personified as a human being. And in the core of that soul is the truth of who we are. And the sages and mystics of the ages have talked about enlightenment, the light within. As we all journey to rediscovering our truth, it's a remembrance. What we're doing is shedding all the beliefs, thoughts, and feelings that have distracted us through our egos to the point of us forgetting the truth of who we are. And the journey back sometimes I have to chuckle at the perfection of karma. It's like this personal data recorder that follows you around, that energetically stores everything you weren't willing to deal with in the moment, and load you up with a karmic propensity or momentum, And the journey back to the truth is to go back and resolve all aspects of yourself that created a sense of separation. It's always a path towards unity or integration or acceptance that takes you towards the light. And separation and judgment and posturing takes you away from the light. But I don't want to distract too much, because our guest tonight, Lee Tuhawks, he's a medium, a healer, and a teacher who walks in his search for this truth. He conducts and participates in Native American ceremony while walking the red path. And he recently published a book, Ageless Wisdom Versus the Winds of Lunacy, The Choice. Join me in welcoming Lee Tuhawks to the show. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Les, but I'm going to hang up now because you said everything perfectly, and I have nothing else to say.
Now. Wait a minute. Your journey is like no other, and we can sit there and point it at the truth. We can point at the truth all we want, but when you go to walk the path to the truth, that's when it becomes real. Don't you think?
Yes, I do. And the fact of walking the red path, there's the red and blue path, but the fact of walking the red truth to the extent that I do walk it is belief in the connectedness of all things, from the tree to the grass to the ant to the deer to the buffalo to the sun to the stars, et cetera, et cetera, and to each other.
Nice.
That is the main thrust of my compassion and understanding of the red path.
So when you came to a point of writing Ageless Wisdom, what motivated you to become an author? Is this your first book?
Before this, in my younger years, so to speak, I had 4 chapbooks of poetry that were published.
Nice.
2 were self-published, 2 others were received by agents and hencely published. And slowly I seemed to move out of that intense desire for poetry and moved into, because of the longevity and the better expressiveness of it, in a less condensed sense, into prose.
So when you talk about your path towards the truth, how does your book play into that?
The path, and we have to capitalize the word truth. Like a truth to serial killer is his thinking he has all the right to do what he's doing. That's not a truth. But the truth of who we are and why we are here and what we are doing and how we should grow and define ourselves in a spiritual aspect is a truer sense. I always call it validity, because I don't think at this lower range of humanness we can understand what truth cosmically truly is.
Yeah, I wonder if language will ever do it. I think poetry was invented when the attempt to put words around the infinite fell so woefully short.
Well, I think we are all struggling. We have the mundane aspirations, making a living, trying to feed our families, keeping a house and a roof and accommodations that are necessary, or what we think are necessary for this living on this earth at this time. Paying the electric bill, the gas bill, et cetera, et cetera, which can at times be overwhelming. And within that, we pass by the opportunity to grow in our essential selfness, because we are so wrapped up in viewing a very limited scope instead of using a huge telescope. And even that doesn't give us the realization of who we as humanity truly are.
What do you mean by grow in selfness?
What I mean is the enrichment of life through the development of certain, I don't like the term virtues, but I'll have to go with that term, which are kindness, patience, love, understanding, and all these are described in my book as I see them as essential elements of progress towards amelioration of conflict between person and person, person and culture, global conflict, etc. Because if we can all develop these certain virtues to an extent where we are applying them daily, minute by minute, hour by hour, that I believe that we can foment a greater humanity and a greater understanding of that humanity through the use of these virtues. That's what I mean by enrichment.
I like that. That really resonates. I like that a lot. So you're talking about how these virtues can weave us together in a more harmonious way. But if I'm entrenched in my mundane life and I'm exhausted getting through my Monday through Friday, what kind of personal transformation would I consider when I look at these virtues, as far as how would it change my own personal experience of my life?
Because day by day in the mundane world, working in a factory, working in an office, working even as a CEO of a major corporation, if these virtues are instituted and activated, they're two different things. They sound like the same term, but they're not. Then in your mundane world, you're using these things and you are virtually changing the aspect of your life by reaching out, because you're using these virtues virtually. Every other person who's near you sees this, say, gee, I want to be that way. I want to be that open. I want to be that truthful. I want to be that honest. I want to be that alive with vibrancy and integrity. And so enlightening the way by using these in your daily mundane life, it's no longer mundane. It becomes vibrant.
I like that. So as you change your stance and stature, your interaction with others changes as well. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. There's a thing called sympathetic vibration, and you may know this because you're an electrical engineer, but it has a little bit to do with resonance, but not quite. What it is, if there's take, for example, a mob. A mob is in sympathetic vibration because somebody and a multiplicity of people had the same thought, same time, and just vibrated throughout the rest of the crowd, and all of a sudden you have a mass of energy that is angry and violent. The same thing can be said for love and kindness and understanding. If we had a crowd of kindness and understanding people in concert, what a magnificent sunrise that would be. And we require a sunrise at this point of the Earth journey.
So with that sympathetic vibration, then you, what you're saying perhaps is you could be the seed vibration, the instigator of the new paradigm when others are in a more chaotic sympathy. You could be the one that sees past the chaos and brings a more authentic relationship to what's happening to light?
That's absolutely correct. I couldn't have said it better. I wish I had your ability with language. But yes, that is actually correct. Because basically the analogy or the metaphor used is if you light a candle in the darkness, others will see the candle and follow. And that's exactly what happened. And there should be, and I hope there will be, more people on this earth that, to use the term, awaken, because you talked about remembrance of who we are, and we need to awaken to that remembrance. And in that remembrance, to constitute those qualities of self that are so essential for spiritual growth?
You know, the compassion of your heart is palatable in your words and intentions. And I'm so impressed by what you bring with those elements of who you are. When you look into the future with the idea that these attributes have been embraced in a much more collective way, how do you see our day-to-day culture changing?
There will be more cooperation. There will be less, if any, wars. There will be dialogue that is not looked upon as criticism. And there will be not that defensive aspect that is so prominent today. You said that that's against my particular culture or religious or any other belief I have. Therefore, I'm going to attack you because you attacked me, even though the intent may have not been to attack, but merely to have a discourse. So in activating a new world sensibility, we can alter the entire course of human growth and human stability and human passion for life.
I like that passion. So you're saying then if we're all connected as one, we're connected not only to ourselves as a species, a human species, but even to the planet and the elements, the air, the totality of our experience. Then by embodying these teachings that you're talking about, you're becoming the cooperative inspiration of what you just talked about as far as a vision of what the future could be. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Yes. I myself, not only because of the red path, but because I believe in these virtues. I believe in their power. I believe in their authenticity. I believe in their vibrancy. And I believe through that they are essential, not necessary, but essential if we are going to alter the course from despair, poverty, war, into a course of cooperativeness, a singularity of humanity, if I may use such a phrase.
Oh, I like it. Well, you've mentioned the red path. Can you give us context so that mean the meaning of that term?
Yes, of course. I touched upon it before. In the Indian culture, it is understood, and I understand that Indians are considered pagans, they have ritualistic beliefs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the core essence of their belief is gratitude for life, gratitude for the growth of trees and the fruits and the vegetables that are provided for us, gratitude for the four-legged ones, or the deer, the buffalo, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Gratitude for even the small ant, as it has its specific function and is doing its function. And in that is recognized that each entity, animal or human, has a specific design and purpose in life. And in that design and purpose is the expression of, we may as well call it divinity, bring that word out, because
sure,
we are all, in my understanding, divine in nature. And if we are truly divine in nature, we're really screwing it up here. We are honestly screwing it up. There are many people out there working for unity and synthesis, and this is my bulwark of what I am trying to do through this book, through other books that may or may not be forthcoming. The unity, you can have a unity of a culture, unity of a nation. What synthesis is bringing all those together to work as one for the vitality of all.
I can see how the red path ties into that then.
Yeah.
I'm I'm very touched by the totality of life that embodies. To genuinely be harmonious with life is to see it for what it is and to value its role in the collective.
And if you're expressing anger, jealousy, revenge, all those things that so many people are prone to, and they may think that they have the right to do so, being raped, being beaten, being in poverty, being diseased and not having health care, many things, many aspects lead to that anger and jealousy. And these are those instruments which are contradictory to our truer divine nature. And there is a way to pass through those with unity and synthesis. With that one, we help each other. If it's one by one, if it's two by two, if it's three by three, it doesn't matter. It's geometric in process.
Yeah, I like that. And, you know, in the oneness that you talk about, if we're all connected, when you or I or the listener as an individual chooses to embody those principles, then we're literally being the change itself.
Yes. To give a small example, my wife and I work as a unit. Do we have conflicts? I wouldn't call them conflicts. We have disagreements that we work out in a kind and generous way, recognizing each other's value in the whole scheme of all that is. That is a unity of two. And so if we have a unity of three and a unity of 10,000 and a unity of 100,000, we have a power that is expressive and has a great deal to do with altering the course of humanity at this time.
So if a listener were to engage your book, what kind of shifts in their path? I mean, how would that touch them as an individual to embody these kinds of principles?
It is the enrichment of life. Aren't we all looking for that scheme or that idea that are advertised on TV? Oh, take these vitamins and your brain will be clear, or take these vitamins, you'll feel more alive. And that's, they're playing on that aspect of our desire as humans to become more than what we think we are. The aspect is to become what we know we are, which are unique and beautiful individuals, each and every one. There's no such thing in my book as celebrity. We are all celebrities. The woman who fights cancers to her deathbed, to me, is a greater celebrity than a dancer, singer, football player, anything else. That, to me, is a celebrity, and that should be honored with gratitude. So that's,
well, you're not.
You know.
No, I like it. I like it a lot. You're not. Well, what I like about what you're saying is you're not telling us that it's a vitamin a pill we take or something external to us. You're pointing us to ourselves.
Yes.
It sounds like you're uncovering the already present truth within us.
Yes.
With this book.
You mentioned the word remembering. And before we came down, we had that remembrance. Well, actually, we had that awareness. And because now we're in the physical realm, which is a different vibration and frequency from where we came from, that is partially blocked from us, but we have the capability of getting it back and utilizing it here on the physical plane. We are teachers. That's what Shadow Fox and I do. And we try to teach these items, which I am expressing, and excuse me, I know I get excited about this. I know I get passionate, but finally I have ears that can hear.
You're doing
radio station.
You're doing great. I love it. The passion is quite evident in your voice, and your heart is very present in your words. So how does this book relate to a personal journey then? I mean, is this for an entry level person or somebody who's more farther down their spiritual path, like there's a beginning and end to that?
I would say both. There is towards the end of the book, I talk about chakras, etheric body, different forces which are called rays and different laws of the universe and of the solar system as we are in it at this time. But the context of the book, and I desired when I started this, and it hurt me to do so, I had a very, very, very not good upbringing. And so I put some of my personal experiences at young age up to older age as I pass through the recognition that I don't have to hate the world. I don't have to hate me. I don't have to hate my neighbor. I can have a good relationship. I don't have to be defensive or unkind or pessimistic or cynical. Because within that book, there's parts that are individual, then there's the text of the book, the teaching part of the book, which I desire people to see more than my damn personal story, because that's not an autobiography. What it is I'm trying to show is this is what happened to me. These are the tools I used to overcome them. So maybe you can use these in your life. I'm sharing them with you with that desire that it will uplift you and inspire you to go further than where you are at this point. If your life is troubled, sad, depressed, angry, etc., 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 there are ways to overcome that, but it does take intent, desire, and work. It is not easy. If I may just take a second. When I was 17, okay, I was on my own since I've been 14, and I was in a town north of us where I live. I was working there. And I was that angry, well, let's put it this way. I walk in the bar, I hit the first person I see, okay? I walked into this library, and I had never really heard music in all my youth, nothing. But anyhow, I walked in this one part, and I saw this Beethoven, Mozart, and different, Wagner, all those that I knew nothing about. I says, who is this? What is this? And back then, they had these carols and with the vinyl record that you could sit in the carol, put your headset on, put the record on, and when I first heard, like, Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, I thought, oh, my God, I've been wrong. I have been incorrect. I have been invalid in my thinking. If a human being can construct the beauty that is expressed in this music, then I'm missing something. I'm not seeing something, and I have to open up to see further. Instead of having myopia, I had to have this broad range of vision, which over the years, I said work, I'd slowly developed. And I hopefully at this point I have at least, if not a cosmic view, but at least a global view of how we as humanity should expand and grow and by necessity overcome the obstacles we face.
Well, you know, I sit here and I listen to the story you just told, and whenever we transcend a condition or paradigm, that's power itself. That's raw power, period.
And it is the power we have a right to.
For you to be who you are today and speak with such a compassionate heart and yet share a story where you had an eternal chip on your shoulder and the world was against you, the transformation of your consciousness in this lifetime is enormously powerful. I'm in awe of the scope and breadth of how you have changed in this lifetime now to be who you are. I'm so very impressed. I'm so glad that, you know, so many times I'll have guests on the show and they'll share their journey, and it's almost like we come out of a storm, we come out of a hurricane, we come out of a most torrential part of our life, and we shake ourselves off and we shake the water off and we turn around and we walk back into the storm as a point of presence, as a point of truth for others going through the same struggle that we ourselves had gone through. And your story fits that to a T, but at such a exponential level,
I had a lot of teachers. I hitchhiked cross country during the late 60s to get to the Camelot of San Francisco, which is the way I viewed it, didn't turn out to be that way. And I met so many people that gave me a ride, and we chatted and we talked. And for a while I was on Skid Row in San Francisco. So many people, drunkards, people passed over by other people, but so intelligent and so kind and so willing to give of that which they had very little of. That taught me. So I am in gratitude to the experiences I've had that have allowed me to garner just the minute aspect of wisdom.
You don't have a minute aspect of wisdom from my perspective. I think it's quite remarkable. When you talk about rays and chakras,
etheric bodies, etc., laws, yes. Mm-hmm.
You used the term ray. Could you expound on that somewhat?
Yes, but now it gets a little more technical. There are seven rays, of each of a different color. These rays are what are considered to come from source, the one source. What they are throughout all universes, and yes, there's more than one universe to all the physicists out there, and what they are qualifiers and conditioners of life. They bring in aspects which can either be answered and utilized or blocked and not utilized, in which case you come into a very dark area. Same thing with the laws. There's laws of that are institute consistently in any solar system, in any galaxy, in any universe. One of the laws of our particular solar system is called the law of cleavage, which means, basically, if we as humanity don't get our stuff together, we're just going to be taken care of and receded, because it is against divine nature to have brutality, discord, inhumanity, poverty, sickness, unattended sickness, and the things that we carry as human beings. And therefore, if that continues and globally brings in the aspect of the wars that we're having and the wars that we have had, without the cleansing aspect of the virtues I mentioned, without the understanding of who we as human beings more truly are, which is somewhat expressed in the book, and recognizing that we have an advantage here to awaken. And in your words, to remember.
Well, how did these teachings, how did you come to understand these?
Oh, God. I mentioned I'm a medium psychic.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah, so there are some books out there that, you know, some are out of print, et cetera, which I was fortunate to find because I've been guided, thankfully, on this journey by what might be called unseen forces, to seek the essence. And that's what I've tried to do all my life. And so they're not only tablets from ancient times, which express ageless wisdom, that not only the mystery schools, some present today, which have somewhat corrupted what they began with. Anytime you make an organization over time, it becomes diluted, diluted. And also the intuitive nature that I have tried to develop, like I said before, to make sure that the teachings I or Shadow Fox bring forth are in alignment with divine nature as much as I can. And I ain't saying by any means that I am divine, but I do recognize divine nature, and the possibilities and potential of that are immense. Does that answer your question?
Sure. Well, you're not. You're not just reading out of somebody else's book. You've spent a lot of time contemplating and with intention of knowing that deeper truth. I mean, you've really been very careful about what you embody as your own words and your own perception to be congruent with the nature of
The nature of nature, indeed. And that's what we have to understand. Nature has its own great capabilities here on Earth. I'm talking about nature as we express it here on the physical plane. We are part of that nature. We started out as what might be called animal man, crawling around on all fours, eating grass, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And slowly, through fortunate incidences, cognition, logic, analytical thinking were developed over eons of time. And in that development, we've kind of, except for science, which is doing a lot of work in validating a lot of what the ageless wisdom has brought forth for millennia to some aspects, quantum theory, string theory, et cetera, like that. And that's exciting. What is missing at this time is human involvement in the evolvement. Because, like I said before, the mundane can overwhelm us. But it needn't be that way if you practice. I believe the Buddhist term is mindfulness.
I like what you said, participate in the evolvement of humanity. It's like your personal role in it. You're connecting to wisdom and then bringing it into a language through your own life experiences that affords a path of understanding. Does that sound right?
That is absolutely correct. Well, let me put it this way, because I think in abstract terms, and the book has some abstraction to it, and I sometimes use big words because, to me, one word expresses entire paragraph, so why write the entire paragraph when you can use one word? So one of my people that got the book, she says, oh, I keep a dictionary right beside me. And I thought, right. Oh, no, I failed because I didn't express it in terms that were easily understandable. Who wants to struggle through a book? But I hope that that doesn't stop people from looking into it.
There's so much in what you say. I think the feelings of your word convey as much as the meanings of your words.
If I may, in the virtuous part of my book, I'm looking at it and say, I hate when people read from a book. But I'm just going to read a sentence. Is that okay?
Go for it, yes.
Okay. So one of the virtues mentioned, the first one I have listed, is love. And in that it says, is that capacity for inclusiveness, which can be for the one, a few, the many, or all that is. True love, its nature, is in the all that is. Implicit in this are allowance, gratitude, service, sacrifice, forgiveness, and acceptance. In universal love, there is no exclusivity. And then it goes on and on and on, but I'm not going to read the whole thing.
Well, I like it. So where do you see your next steps going? Are you going to write another book? I mean, it seems like you're it's obvious that you're passionate and the compassion of your heart is exuded in your language and intention and actions. What do you see as your next steps?
Well, Shadow Fox and I are now trying to get, when you put videos on the internet. She's the person that does this, but videotaping short, free classes that express that. Online, yes. Video online, I guess it's called, or something of that nature. And so we're doing that. We hold classes at our house on different teaching aspects. And we're going to Cleveland for an exhibition, Pittsburgh for an exhibition. She just showed me the thing of it is called enrichment-online.com. And we have not put anything out there yet, but we're working on it. And I tend to be a clown, especially when somebody points a camera at me.
Yeah. No worries.
And so, yeah. And she's trying to bring that aspect of myself down because we are trying to be serious. Yeah.
Well, you know, a little laughter has a lot of healing to it. You mentioned you give these classes at your house. Knowing where your house is would really help. What city is that located in?
We are in a city called Fredonia that has a college of part of the University of New York system. And so it's a college town virtually, and we're just a little on the outskirts of that. So
that,
I don't think anybody's going to travel 100 miles to take a two-hour class. Yeah.
Or they already live there. So is it
It's already close by residence within a 20 mile radius or so, 30 miles.
And
yeah, but the other aspect is we do travel. If somebody could put together a group of people who's interested in what we have to offer, we do travel as much as possible. My wife is somewhat disabled, so we have to put a mattress in the back of the van, so a ride isn't too rough on her. But yes, we will go to people if they have a call for us.
So what's this webpage, universalnuances.com?
Universalnuances.com kind of expresses the entire aspect of what we're trying to teach, and hopefully through that to garner interest enough in it to hold symposiums or hold weekend retreats or such a nature. So we can have the ability to impact people with what we're trying to do, which is, again, to bring unity and synthesis upon this global entirety. But it's going to take a number of people to do that.
Well, people like you, because you're doing it. You're writing books, you're integrating concepts, the passion of what you're doing is very powerful, and just where you've gone in this lifetime is remarkable. You know, in the show title it says ennoble your truth. what's that noble aspect?
Okay, that's one of my favorite phrases. I came up with that years and years ago. I finally found a place for it in the book before the book was even thought of. So
nice.
Yeah. And ennoble your truth, enable your action. So ennobling your truth is bringing that richness to that aspect of self, which is the truer self than that person that walks through life unawakened. So the ennobling is awakening that richness of who you are as an entity, as a person, as a human, into a richer, more fulfilling view. It's like perspective, okay? Because I at one time was an artist. No, I was a terrible artist, so I quit. But I tried. In perspective, you know, where you stand determines more or less the angle at which you see things. However, if you take five steps left or right, that perspective changes. And that's a teaching in itself. Our perspective of the line of our life can change by simply going beyond two or three steps of self internally and seeing a differing, hopefully a broader perspective of what is here now, doing everything it can to knock us awake and bring us into that vital sensitivity and sensibility that enables us to express more wholly the soulness and spirit of who we are as humans.
Very well said. And you talked about enriching. It enriches our life. So if we're immersed in the mundane of our life, then perhaps we've disconnected from that truth. Because you're talking about the nobility of our truth. The more we align with it, the more we embody it in our life, the richer our life becomes. Is that what you're saying?
The richer your life becomes, and the second part of that is enable your action. And by action, I mean right action, that which creates no harm for you nor anyone else. So if you know your truth and you come to that achievement, that recognition of self as a very wealthy individual, and I'm not talking about money, but attributes, a very wealthy individual, and therefore I am going to take that action that enables me to take that action, which will resonate with other people and help to uplift them as well.
So that action is a critical part then. If you don't take that action, then you have no experience of change or transformation.
That's the aspect of wisdom. Knowledge, having knowledge without action is no knowledge at all. But when knowledge in its purest form is brought forward and used accurately, it creates that aspect we call wisdom. So knowledge is enacted, wisdom is enacted knowledge.
Action. I like that. So
we can't have it any other way. I mean, unless we take action, and this is political action, cultural action, however you wish to frame it, and I wish anybody would not frame it, because it's inclusive of everything that is here on this plane and beyond, and therefore it has a source of greatness so potent that if we could only realize that aspect, then we could virtually move mountains, whether they be political mountains or emotional mountains or physical mountains, the healing aspect, or attitude mountains, mental mountains, whichever mountain you desire to climb and overcome.
Well, I like
that. Am I getting too preachy? I don't mean to.
No. The show is about talking about just that. So don't have no fret. So you're saying knowledge with action is wisdom. There's got to be something fulfilling to the completion of that cycle. The knowledge is the idea or the inspiration, and then the action brings it into effect. That to me, it seems like that would erase the idea of mundane right there.
Indeed, it would. But when we say action, we mean right action, that which creates no harm to self or others. That aspect of virtues that we talked about previously. So when you see that action, it's not standing and having a shootout with your friend on the street. That's action, but it's incorrect action because you're creating harm. And so the wording needs to be interpreted in kind of an exact manner of what I meant by that phrasing. It's just like, you know, what do I have here? Okay. One of my favorite, I don't know what you call them, the mountain of the moment tomorrow becomes a pebble in an ever-flowing stream. Keep your perspective. Become calm. So love in its truer nature allows not defeat, nor bitterness, nor sorrow, nor limitation. It disavows personal agenda, limiting experience, posturing, and self-absorption. The love you seek as a motivation overrides distraction, discomfort, defeat, because it has a broader comprehension of the totality of life and your place in it. That kind of sums that up.
Well, I like it. I really like your material and what you're bringing forth in such a passionate way. What's the end game of this? I mean,
the end game is to awaken through my efforts and the many others who are out there teaching, as you are with your book, and who are out there trying to get this message across so that people get into that remembrance phrase, and in that remembrance, creating a new world. That's the end game. So that we don't run into this end game element of total destruction, but the end game of enlightenment. That, to me, is a viable goal.
If you were to fast forward to the fulfillment of that, in other words, that that intention was successful, and you were to grasp a vision of what life on Earth would look like, what would you say to that?
I can probably put it in one or two sentences. If people accept the idea that there are life forms other than ours, of which there are multitudes, we won't go into that. But when it comes to the point that we have enough people awakened on this earth plane, this earth, this planet, will become a library, a teaching library from those from other planets, other existences, to come to find truth and validity of self. That's the end game for me.
Do you think that we would be a library of truth because we've seen so much lack of truth?
Well, I think because we have overcome, we will overcome the lack of truth and the exercise of ill will and viciousness. And because we did that, and there are those factions out there that are still in warlike states and more destructive even than us. But should this planet, Earth, reach its potential status, then these are the people who will come to learn to be calm, to be quiet, to be understanding, to be loving, etc., etc. We will be the teachers.
You know, earlier in this conversation, you shared some of your own journey from when you were a teenager to where you are now, and that gave you an experience, that gave you an understanding, that gave you an insight as to the nature of that journey because you lived it, you flat out lived it, and then what struck me is later on just now you said that Earth is to become a library of human understanding. Part of the passion of your voice is you've seen both sides of the coin, so to speak, and that has really lit a fire in your heart. It would seem that it's people just like you that would make this library so valuable based on our experience of our human condition.
Yes. Well, I hate to include myself in there. There are far better teachers than I are, far more aware people than I. I've just tried to do my best in my understanding of it, my interpretation of it. And I hope with this book I have done, well, I have done the best of my ability, but even now I'm learning more beyond this book. And, well, actually, I knew more beyond this book, but I can only include so much. So I know we're getting close to time here. I don't know where
we are. Yes, we are.
I would like to mention my wife's book, et cetera, et cetera. Can I do that? Or?
You betcha. We are short on we have time, but go ahead and tell us about those things.
Okay. My wife's book, which basically is an operating manual to condition your life and reframe your life in more, shall I use the term, excellent frame, more inclusive and more understandable realm of existence, and her book is Want Not and Be Open to Receive, which is published by Tate, available on Amazon, and her name is Shadow Fox. That's the teaching name we have. Okay, and it has to do with language, use of language, and she mentions some of the laws in effect and gives somewhat of a singular view on it. I say singular because this is a very broad subject. Laws and rays are very big, and so we can only barely mention them and hope somebody. So basically, her book is about destiny by design. And that's in itself says the whole message right there. My book is, I've got to look at my own title, Ageless Wisdom Versus the Winds of Lunacy, The Choice. And my author's name is Lee Tuhawks, available also on Amazon. And there you can, I guess you have notebooks or something, you can get it electrically. They're available as well as a physical copy of the book. And that's, again, would be on Balboa. We have, as you mentioned, universalnuances.com, which is kind of a total picture of what we do. And we'll have connections to other things. Our email that we use for people inquiring is the number 4, sharingwisdom@gmail.com. Number 4, sharingwisdom@gmail.com. So there you are. I pushed the product. How's that?
Bravo. And I tell you what, you're every bit a teacher as any other teacher I've had on this show. You're doing a fantastic job. Don't change a thing. Lee, I'm so delighted that you are our guest on our show tonight. I want to thank you for joining us.
And I thank you for this great, great opportunity. And I hope our listeners have their ears open and will be inspired to look at their life and say, I can do better. And yes, you can.
That was Lee Tuhawks, who joined us tonight talking about, well, his passion was so evident, and the compassion of his heart was so exuberant and vibrant. It's quite evident he has a lot to share with others. I encourage you to check out his resources. You know, you showed up for yourself tonight. You're listening to this right now. And it's when you make a choice and take action to grow who you are, you change the rest of your life. And I'm glad you decided to show up with us tonight. I'm your host, Les Jensen. Until next time.
This has been a New Human Living radio broadcast. You can raise your own personal power with Personal Power Fundamentals Home Study Course at newhumanliving.com. Thanks for listening.